Blog Talk Radio. Hello and good morning. This is Cecilia. Welcome to Let's Talk with Smile 3E. I'm going to start off with a question before I pray. As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask two questions. What is discipleship to you? And whose disciple are you? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Help us, God, to be people that are yielded to your will being done. Your will being done for us, within us, and by us. God, cause us to live a life that perpetually says, not my will, but your will be done. Be it unto me according to your word. God, cause us to be true disciples of Christ. Cause us to want to be disciples of Christ. Cause us to chase after you, God. Your word tells us that goodness and mercy shall run after us. Your word tells us that goodness and mercy shall overtake us. God, we ask you that your goodness and your mercy will not only overtake us, God, but that we would share your goodness and your mercy with this whole world. God, teach us how to pray for our president, our vice president, and those that are in the White House. Teach them, God, that it's not about the color of their skin, but it's about the content of their character. God, although the house that they in is white in color, you are a God that's even greater than a house of a skin color. But you are a God of diversity. You are a God of you are a God of all of creation. For when you said, let that be, and it was, and you said that it was good. When you created mankind and you called mankind to multiply, and they did. God, you caused for that multiplication to be diversified. Teach us, God, the goodness and the greatness and diversity. Teach us how to appreciate one another. Teach us how to honor one another. Teach us how to respect one another. Teach us, God, how to do all the things that you caused us to do, no matter what our skin color is, no matter what our language is. Teach us, God, to even quit and stop with the self-genocide of our own races, of people that look like us. For God, there's only one race. It's the human race. Teach us, God, the true meaning of being a part of the human race. Those that you have created. Those that you have made, God. Teach us how to be disciples of Jesus Christ. For when we walk in the great commission that you have given us, God, in the West, and we spread it to all mankind, all humankind, for God, it's not about if you're a boy or a girl, a woman or a man, but it's about being one of God's creation. And every last one of us, God, no matter where we live at or used to live at or how educated we are or uneducated we are, no matter what our income is, God, no matter who we know, no matter where we work at, no matter our last name, God, the main name we need to have is to be a follower of Christ. Teach us to be a follower of Christ. Teach us not to get caught up in what church we go to, what religion we're a part of, or even, God, what denomination we call ourselves. For the only true domination and denomination and religion and culture and religious belief be those that will confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ was virgin born, and that he lived, and that he ministered, and that he died on the cross for each and every human being. And because of that, we all have the right to eternal life. God, teach us how to be true disciples of Jesus Christ, how to be true ministers of the gospel, how to be those people that whether we're in this church or that church, or whether we're in this land or that land, or that family or this family, all will be followers of Jesus Christ. Help us to identify with Jesus Christ, and so much so, God, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, that we can speak those things that be not as though they were, that we can ask, seek, and knock, and that we could but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, that we would know that we know that we know that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and we will say of the Lord that you are our refuge and our fortress. God, cause your word to be manifest in every area of our lives, that we can walk in the destiny and the purpose for which you've called us. We could do it without shame. We could do it without apprehension. But we would do it everywhere we go. Bless everyone. Everywhere, God. Because they are your creation. Help us to walk in unity and peace with one another. In love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to check and see what Minister Brandon wants to talk about on today, and then I'll come back and we'll talk about discipleship and disciples. Minister Kaiser?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to start off, or you want me to start off?
I can start off.
Okay.
What I'll be coming from is 1 John, the second chapter, starting at the third verse. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother or sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. And then on the third chapter, starting at the 11th verse, it says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We shall love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. anyone? Anyone who hates using my app messed up, so I'll have to find where I was at again. But do not be surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life. We love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because we keep his commands and do what he pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's command lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. And then the last verse I'll read is from James, 2nd chapter, 1st verse. But my brothers and sisters, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a man in shabby clothing also comes in, if you pay attention to the one with the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, well, he says to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves, become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers and sisters. God has not chosen those who are poor in the kingdom to has God not chosen those who are poor in the kingdom to be rich in faith and in heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. The whole law but fails at one point has become guilty of all of it. For he who said do not commit adultery also said do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy.
We can hardly hear you, Minister Kaiser. We heard you when you were reading the scriptures, but now we can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Much better.
Okay. So, the verses I just read are about love. Loving our brothers, as well as not avoiding the sin, partiality. And we want to make sure that we do that and never judge anyone based off their economic status or race, or even if they happen to be in the world and not necessarily a Christian, or that they may live in another lifestyle or even be a part of another religion, where to love them and then love them in truth, and even use the opportunities God gives us to share the gospel with. And how, if we're not careful, that can we can easily cause ourselves to be guilty of the sin of partiality or even hate. And sometimes we may say that we don't hate people, but there has to be actions to prove it. And if there's no action behind what we say, then we may not truly love our brothers as we think we do. Because if we do not hate our brothers, that means that we love them. And we know that the act of love and the scriptures tell us that that's the key to the church in dealing with discrimination and racism and other things that divide us. Because sometimes it's even simpler things like the different denomination. You know, if you're not part of this denomination, I may view you a certain way. It may not be what we consider hatred. And a lot of times we think of hatred as simply just wishing harm on someone, but hatred just could be the attitude that you have towards another person. It doesn't necessarily mean you wish a death on them. It just, you may judge them in a way and look at them in a way and not necessarily have, instead of, you know, seeing them how God sees them, despite how different they are or wherever they may be in their life or in their walk with God, that we would learn how to love them and show them love. And that's all I have.
Amen. I want to start off with a few definitions. Hatred is intense dislike or ill will. So synonym or words that are similar to them is loathing, hate, detestation, dislike, distaste, something that's an abomination, hostility, ill feelings, animosity, revulsion, disgust. But then when you read the definition of love, it's intense feelings of deep affection, a person or a thing that loves, a feeling of romantic attachment, to adore, to be fond of something, to have intimacy, to have an attachment towards that person, adoration, worship, passion, guard, goodwill, charity, kindness, benevolence, a feeling of humanity, unselfishness. The Word of God gives us a number of scriptures dealing with disciples, and I want to share some with you. Okay, the first verse that I'm going to share with you is in the book of Luke, and it's 40. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. Be imitators of me as I am Christ. That's Jesus talking. Luke 9 and 23. And when he said to all, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. John 15 and 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. John 8 and 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. Luke 14 and 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:25-27. Now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Mark 8:34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 4:19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let's stop right there. Wait, one more scripture. John 13:35. "By this people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Having love for one another will make you be a disciple and a discipler of Jesus Christ. Hezekiah Walker sung a song that says, "I need you to survive." The lyrics say, "I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me. Agree with me. We're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with the words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. It is His will," talking about God, "that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive." When do we really walk in a posture that says we need our brothers and our sisters? Because, see, being a disciple means any follower of Christ. As Minister Cogger said earlier, not any denomination, but any follower of the Christ, the one and true and living God. Anyone that professes to be a follower of Christ in his lifetime. A person that's a pupil or a student that's being taught and trained in being a follower of God. The goal to become a little Christ. This is a little thing I want to share with you. It is important to identify the purpose of discipleship. It is important to identify the purpose of the discipleship process. Very simply, a disciple is a Christ follower. The process of discipleship is to form believers into the image of Christ. The Old Testament reveals that humans, it didn't say man or woman, but it said humans, were created in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26-27, the New Testament parallels to this, that believers are to become the likeness of Christ in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But 2 Chronicles 7:14 reminds us that if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, talking about God, that He will hear them and He will heal the land. Many people are so caught up in their pride of them being right, of them not knowing how to apologize, of them not knowing how to forgive, of them not knowing how to humble themselves before the mighty hand of God, that they walk in such arrogance and such pride until God has to allow things to happen in their lives to teach them who he is. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? Colossians 1:18. Well, because it is important to walk in the image of Christ instead of the image of pride, you know, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. America, right now, through our leadership and our actions, is showing ourselves to be a nation of pride instead of a Christian nation. And we really need to pray about that. We really need to humble ourselves. For if my people that are called by them by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we've got to get back to God. We need to humble ourselves from the White House to the classroom to the home, every element in this world and in America. We need to humble ourselves because we are to be in the image of Christ, not in who we see when we look in the mirror. If when you look in the mirror, you don't see the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, then we need to go back to humbling ourselves and seeking his face. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the New Testament, it talks about being in the image of Christ. We were created in God's likeness and his very image. And then because of sin, Jesus had to die to restore us back to God. Because being in a true relationship, not only with one another, but with God, calls for love and forgiveness. How can you, as Minister Kaiser shared the scriptures earlier, say you love God, but you hate your brothers and your sisters? You may say, no, they weren't born from my mother or father. I'm talking about the true brotherhood and sisterhood. I'm not talking about the fraternal orders. I'm talking about when God said that it was good in Genesis 1:26-27, when he created us in his likeness and his image, we're all brothers and sisters because we're part of the human race. And we need for one another to realize that we're a part of what race? The human race. We're to be part of one religion, the religion that shares the gospel of Jesus Christ, that shares the love of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is true, there's only one way. I know all of these other religions are telling you you can get there through your works. I know all of these religions are telling you you can get there through your charity. I know all of these religions are telling you you can get there through this or that. But the reality of it all is love gives and love forgives. Love will cause you to be charitable. Love will cause you to do missions. Love will cause you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Love will cause you to love one another no matter what your skin color is. Love will cause you to tell the person that it's okay to be a disciple of Christ. One author wrote this sentence. He said, leaders must constantly remember the purpose of discipleship is not to build an army for a church kingdom, but to become little Christ. Why did that Arthur say that? Because so many people are into building their churches, these great churches here and there and everywhere, but they're not building little imitators of Christ. That's what we're to be building. If we're building little imitators of Christ, it won't matter if they're at our church or someone else's church. We won't be trying to have our own little army, for there's only one army, and that's the army of Jesus Christ. So many leaders are tempted and ministries are tempted to want to nurture and create people that look like them, act like them, go to church where they go out, hang out where they hang out, which that's good because we are to be our brother's keeper and we are to fellowship with one another. However, we must not get it twisted to now we're a fraternal order or a sorority or a group social gathering that it's all about us. It has to be all about Jesus Christ. It has to be all about relationship. Yes, we're to have relationships with one another, but the ultimate relationship is the one where the principles of the Bible are being manifested. Prayer, love, the worship for God, baptism, spiritual prayer, and yes, we're going to have some spiritual warfare, but we got to know how to intercede and to pray for one another, you know, loving your brother more than you love yourself, communion. And we've even got to know how to confront one another in the Holy Ghost to let one another know what this or that is going on. Are you reading your Bible? Are you studying your Bible? Are you meditating on the Word of God day and night? Are you memorizing the word so that when the things in life come against you, you can say that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against thee, thou shalt condemn them, for this is the heritage of the Lord. Are you able to say, God said that I have not because I ask not? God said that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. Are you able to memorize the word enough to say that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty? Are you able to go through something and say, no, according to my word, by Jesus Christ, I'm already healed. According to the Bible that I made my everything. Because, see, when we take the word of God and the love of God and we become intentional and committed and accountable to God, we build up our spiritual relationship with God. When we decide we're going to have an intimate relationship with God, that means that we become authentic before God. We become vulnerable before God. We become accountable before God, not before mankind. Man will cause you to think that if you drink this or don't drink that, or if you eat this or don't eat this or that, that you're more religious than another. Religion will have you to think that your title denotes your relationship with God, and it doesn't. It doesn't matter call you. It matters what God calls you. Does God call you one of his disciples? Does God call you one of his sons or daughters? Or are you so busy being a part of this clique and that clique? Because that's what they end up being. You're thinking you're a part of the body of Christ when you're actually a part of a clique. We have to be assured that we're a part of the body of Christ and not some clique, not some social gathering, not some group that thinks that their religion is better than another religion. Minister Kaiser talked about a little bit earlier about being a follower of Christ and it being evident in our love and it not mattering what church or denomination we're a part of. That's the word of God. When they were following John the Baptist, when they were following different leaders, Elijah, everybody that was following these various denominations or various groups, when Paul had his followers, Peter had his followers, all of the disciples had their followers, but guess what? They all were following and pointing to Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter your denomination. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't matter about any of that. The one thing that we must remember is about that partiality that Minister Kaiser was talking about earlier. That's not God. To hate what God hates. We're to love what God loves. And in all of the things that God loves and all of the things that he hates, it's not human nature. It's not humankind. It's not humanity. That's not who he's hating. God hates behaviors. He hates the sin. He hates the things that the enemy of our soul tries to get us to do and say and all of those things that cause us to be separated from God. But God loves his creation, for he said it was good. And then Jesus came back and said it was finished. What was finished? We were restored back unto God. How many of you know that it's a great thing to be restored back? It's a great thing to walk in the grace of God. It's a great thing to walk in the love of God. If you've never seen something restored, you may not understand. Sometimes you can walk past something, a debilitated building, or even a computer that's been broken down, or you can see a marriage or something that's been restored. It means to bring something back to a previous right, to a previous practice, to a previous statement, to be reinstituted, to be reimposed, to be reinstalled, to be reestablished, to return someone or something back to the former condition and place or position. You've been repaired. You've been renovated. You've been rebuilt. You've been reconstructed. You've been redeveloped. You've been brought back to your original owner. My God, what a blessing that we have, that Jesus has reinstated us, restored us back to our mint condition in and through him. But see, we can't have that reconstitution or that redevelopment without Jesus Christ. It has to be through Jesus Christ. It has to be by Jesus Christ. You can't be restored without the restorer. There's plenty of imitators out here. There's plenty of imitations, but there's only one. Only one, Jesus Christ. Only one way to be restored, to be reconditioned, to be rehabilitated, to be restored back to that original place of walking with God in the still of the peace of the garden in paradise. We can be in that restored place, but we as brothers and sisters of Christ must remember Proverbs 27 and 17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. There are the words that you're saying, sharpening one another. Is the life that you're leading, is it sharpening one another? Are you doing things that are pulling people closer to an intimate relationship with God? Is your conversation, the things that you're doing, always about what people aren't doing instead of about what God is doing? Remember, it's all about being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Don't allow the enemy of our souls to make us a divider of the enemy. Don't allow the enemy of our soul to cause us to be people that are walking in deception. people that are walking in, what your skin color is, what my skin color is, what people that are walking in racism and sexism. That means someone thinking that they're greater than another because of a certain race. When there's only one human race, there's one race. So because there's so much confusion about there being more than one race, there's one race, the human race. We need to get that in our spirit, man, that there's one race of many diverse tongues, of many different skin colors, but there's one race. So before I turn it back over to Minister Kaiser, I'm going to open up the lines to see if any of our callers have anything they want to add about love and true discipleship of the Great Commission. The lines are open. Would anyone like to share before I turn the program back over to Minister Kaiser?
Good morning. I hope you can hear me. This is Sheila Kaiser. I just want to say I really enjoyed the word this morning, and we need to pray and pray daily. As you say, the human race, you know, this color code is going through, the hatred, it is going out of hand, it's getting out of hand. Just going crazy. So I just want to say thanks for the word this morning. Just thanks for the message for today of all days. More and more, we need the blessing of more love to each other, no matter who you are, what you are, or what you look like. But your color doesn't matter, but yet in this time and world, it does. Just want to say thank you, and I love you, and I appreciate everything that was said.
Hey, Pat. Again, let's remember that iron sharpens iron. And when we sharpen our brothers and sisters, we sharpen them with the love of God for his human race. Minister Kaiser, I turn it back over to you, sir.
Thank you, Apostle Elect. I'll pull this on. Well, first I'll get some of the announcements on tomorrow. Is Iron Sharpening Iron at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with your host, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and we'll update you and let you know who the speaker will be. And then what you're listening to right now is Smile 3 presents Let's Talk with Me, Minister Brandon Kaiser, and I'm Apostle Alexia Kaiser at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, Lord, we thank you for today's program and service. We ask you to bless all of our listeners and that we would all apply your word and be good ground and produce fruit in its season, and even out of season when you want it to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. So until next time, bye-bye, and God bless you.